Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, you and I are going to unpack a pretty pivotal Florida Supreme Court case from back in 1983, Orange County Industrial Development Authority v. State.
Yeah, this one's fascinating. It really gets into that classic tension, doesn't it? Economic development versus constitutional limits on public spending.
Exactly. Specifically, using public funds for private projects. The core question we're diving into. Can taxpayer-backed bonds be used to finance, of all things, a commercial TV station?
And what's really interesting for anyone studying law, especially public finance, is that the court was, well, completely split on this. No easy answer.
Right. So we'll be using the case details, briefs, you know, the usual source material to really get under the hood. Our mission today, understand the legal arguments, the constitutional questions, and why this case, even decades later, still kind of matters.
It absolutely does. You'll see how the justices really grappled with what public purpose even means. It forces you to think, okay, when is it legit to use public money for a private company?
Okay, so let's set the scene. We're in Orange County, Florida, 1983. The local industrial development authority, the IDA, they want to issue a cool $9 million in tax-free revenue bonds.
Big money back then. And the plan was to give this to the outlet company.
Yeah, for building a new commercial TV station, WCPX-TV, right there in Orlando.
And the authority's pitch was, you know, pretty standard economic development stuff. They argued it would create jobs.
At least 25, they said.
Right, 25 jobs, boost Orlando's media profile, maybe improve local news coverage. Sounds reasonable on the surface, maybe.
You'd think. But the trial court, they looked at it and basically said, hold on. They saw it mainly as a private project for the outlet company.
Uh-huh. The public benefits. The court felt those were just incidental kind of side effects, not the main goal.
So they actually stopped the bonds, blocked the whole thing at the trial level.
And here's a really critical number to keep in mind. Because these were tax-exempt bonds, the outlet company stood to save something like $300,000 a year.
Wow. That's not small change.
Not at all. And that private saving, that $300, became a huge point of contention. You have to wonder how much that influenced the judge's thinking about whether the public benefit was really the main driver here.
Definitely puts it in perspective. So the case goes up to the Florida Supreme Court, and it boils down to two key legal questions, right?
Exactly. First, did a TV station even count as an industrial or manufacturing plant under the specific Florida law, Chapter 159? Because that law was typically for, you know, factories.
Okay, that's a definition question. And the second one?
The bigger one? Maybe. Did this project serve a paramount public purpose? Was the public good the main thing, or was it just a nice add-on to help out a private business?
Paramount public purpose. That sounds like a high bar.
It is, especially in Florida. And the court used this specific two-part test for projects not explicitly okayed by the state constitution, something law students definitely run into.
Right, that two-prong test. What were the parts again?
Okay, first prong. Did the bonds pledge the state's credit? In this case, since they were revenue bonds.
Meaning the TV station's earnings were supposed to pay them back.
Correct. So the state wasn't directly on the hook if the station failed. The answer to prong one was no. That part was easy.
But prong two, that's where the fireworks were.
That's the heart of it. Was the public purpose so significant, so paramount, that it overshadowed the private gain for the outlet company? This is where the justices just couldn't agree.
Let's get into the majority opinion then. Justice Ehrlich wrote it.
Yes, and he was very clear, first, on the definition. A TV station is not an industrial plant.
Why not? How did he reason that?
Well, he basically said, look, an industrial plant makes things, tangible goods, or employs a large, you know, manufacturing workforce. A TV station, it broadcasts signals, creates content. It's fundamentally different. He argued you couldn't just stretch the plain meaning of industrial plant to cover it, even if you tried to interpret the law broadly.
Makes sense. What of the paramount public purpose part?
The majority wasn't buying it there either. They acknowledged, yeah, it may be better news, maybe those 25 jobs. But compared to that $300,000 annual saving for a private company?
They saw it as pretty small potatoes, relatively speaking.
Exactly. Minor benefits compared to a substantial private financial advantage. That imbalance was key for them.
And they really hammered on that paramount idea.
Absolutely. Justice Ehrlich stressed that incidental public benefits, the kind any new business might bring, just aren't enough. The primary purpose has to be public. Here, they saw the primary purpose as private profit.
And they mentioned the lack of public control, too. unlike, say, a city-owned utility or something.
Right. They contrasted it with cases like State v. City of Jacksonville, where there is significant public ownership or control involved. Ehrlich literally said, incidental public benefits aren't enough. The purpose must be paramountly public.
Review direct.
And on the definition, just as blunt, plainly and on its face, an industrial or manufacturing plant does not subsume within it a television broadcast facility. Can't get much clearer than that.
Okay, so that's the majority. But you said it was a split decision. There was a dissent.
Oh, yes. A strong one from Chief Justice Alderman, joined by Justice Adkins. They saw things very differently.
How so? Did they think a TV station was an industrial plant?
They did. Their argument was, look, producing TV content, news, shows, ads, it takes a lot of labor, huge capital investment, complex technology. It is a form of production, just not of physical goods. So for them, yeah, the term industrial plant could reasonably include it.
Interesting counterpoint. What about the public purpose?
They felt the court should have given more deference to the local IDA. The authority had already decided it was a paramount public purpose, and the dissenters felt that local expertise should count for something.
Kind of like, let the local development folks decide what's best for local development.
Sort of, yeah. Plus, Alderman made a really strong point about the value of news itself. He argued that better news coverage makes for a more informed public, and that's a core public good, right?
Hard to argue with that in principle.
He felt the majority really underestimated that benefit. And he pointed out, hey, the court has approved bonds for things like airports and sports stadiums before, which definitely have private benefits mixed in. Why treat a TV station, which informs the public, more harshly?
Good point. Did he have a quote summing that up?
He did. He said, a broadcasting station is as much an industrial plant as other facilities previously approved by this court. The private benefit to the station's owners is secondary and incidental to the paramount public purpose of providing the public suitable access to ideas and experiences. Really lays out the opposing view.
Wow. So two very different ways of looking at the same facts and law. Why should someone studying this stuff today still care about this 40-year-old case?
Well, for one, it really tightened the rules for these kinds of bonds in Florida. It sent a message. Courts will look closely at public purpose claims. They won't just rubber stamp them if the private benefit seems too large.
So it raised the bar for getting public funding for private projects in Florida.
Definitely. It also highlighted how important clear definitions and laws are. That whole fight over industrial plant, it probably made the legislature think twice. Like, maybe we need to be more specific next time.
Yeah, you can see how vague language leads to court battles.
And for legal theory buffs, it's a great example of textualism versus purposivism.
Okay, explain that briefly.
The majority focused on the literal text, the plain meaning of industrial plant. That's more textualist. The dissent looked more at the overall purpose economic development, informing the public, even if the words didn't fit perfectly. That's more purposivist. Seeing both approaches in action in one case is really instructive.
And you mentioned Florida's test is stricter than elsewhere.
Generally, yes. That paramount standard is considered a tougher hurdle than in some other states. So what might get approved elsewhere might not fly in Florida because of this precedent.
So it has real-world consequences for development.
Absolutely. And at the end of the day, it forces us back to that fundamental question. When is it okay for the public to subsidize private business? Where is the line? This case drew a pretty clear line, at least for Florida, in 1983.
Okay, so wrapping up this deep dive, the big takeaway seems to be the Florida Supreme Court really emphasizing that paramount public purpose means public benefit has to be the main event, not just a sideshow, when using these kinds of bonds.
Precisely. The private gain can't overshadow the public good.
And that leaves us with something to chew on, right? Think about today. We still argue all the time about public money for private things, stadiums, corporate incentives, you name it.
Constantly.
So how do the ideas from this 1983 case, paramount purpose, incidental benefit, how do they play out in those debates now? What does paramountly public even mean today?
That's the question, isn't it? It's not always easy to define, but this case gives us a really solid framework and a specific example to think about it. Definitely something worth mulling over.